I thanked him for the song leading this evening. I know what it's like trying to get through leading songs when you're dealing with allergies. I also thank him for the number that he did. See, most of you don't know this, but I think Tim knew it a little bit, that the lesson that I prepared for this evening is actually what I had planned for 2 weeks ago as a devotional on Wednesday night. And generally speaking, devotionals are not very long. And though I did try to expand on it a little bit, I'm just thankful here we are. I was afraid that we would be done before 6:30 this evening. Now that might not disappoint some folks, but I do like to at least get us beyond that. I feel a little bit more comfortable at that point. Well, if you paid attention to the bulletin, I sometimes try to give you clues as to where I'm going with my lessons. And for this evening, I had just listed an evening pep talk. And pep was capitalized. And there's a reason behind that. But before we get into that reason, let's just talk about pep talks. What are they? I remember playing on some ball teams, and before you go out for the big game, if you want to call it that, the coach would want to give a pep talk to us to get us encouraged and get us excited to go out there and do the best that we possibly could. I've had pep talks prior to tests. I am not the greatest in certain tests. I definitely needed a pep talk when it came to taking science tests. I am terrible with science. Also, for auditions, we get pep talks with those. Do I go out for the audition or not? When I get a part, getting a pep talk for doing the best I possibly can. There are other examples that I'm sure you can think of in regards to pep talks. Well, this is along that line, in that I hope that this is of encouragement to us and gets us more, I guess, excited and more wanting to do the will of God and to stay the course and don't give up. Because we live in a world nowadays that there's a lot happening that can be very discouraging to us. And this is as much to me as to anyone else, because there are just some things that are happening in this world that are bothersome to me. And I thought, I need a pep talk. And when I was thinking about this, I just was skimming through my Bible. I think it was actually one morning here, and I don't remember who was doing the lesson. And I was flipping over to look for a particular verse that whoever was speaking was about to talk about. And there was something near it. And I said, that looks interesting there. And it just struck me as to it would be something to revolve a lesson around. Now we're getting to what my pep talk is about. Because each letter represents a particular word. But these words all have kind of a similar meaning. The first P we're going to be talking about is patience. And there are a variety of different definitions that we could have for patience. Just think about to wait, to hold on, to be long-suffering. Those kind of come to my mind whenever I think of patience. We'll look at some other terms from the Greek here in a bit. The E in our lesson this evening, endurance. Keep going, keeping on. And as you know, that's something, if you would have talked to me a few years back, that I would probably have a more clear grasp on it, because I was a runner. And I ran anywhere from 5Ks to half marathons. And definitely with a half marathon, and if you don't know how long that is, that's about just over 13 miles. It takes endurance. It takes stamina and things like that. So every time I see endurance, I think about those types of things in terms of, how do I make that application to my Christian life? And then the last P is perseverance. Don't give up. I know this isn't a word, but I'm going to use it anyway. Stick-to-itiveness. Now, getting into more specifics with this, all three of them, and the verses that we're going to be looking at, use the exact same Greek word. And I'm going to probably butcher this, but I'll do the best I can. I believe it's pronounced hupanome. And it means a variety of different things. It can mean to bear, to hold up against, to remain, to be steadfast, to have fortitude. All those terms kind of fit in with these words here. And I think it's important for us in the world in which we live, we need these things to be able to stand. Remember what it says over in, Ephesians chapter 6? When we get into that, it tells us basically to stand, to stay firm. Don't give up. Don't give in. So with that in mind, we're going to be looking at two passages and then one that's just a verse, but a fairly long verse. And all of them are going to be familiar to you. Things that we've looked at in the not too distant past. The first one we find, and this is dealing with patience, found in James chapter 1. Now I will say, as we prepare to look at these, depending on what version of the Bible you have in front of you, it could read differently. And there'll be some overlapping. I might read somewhere where it says patience, and yours might have endurance or perseverance. So just be prepared for that. Now in James chapter 1, after we have the greeting at the very outset in the first verse, notice what it says in verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, a lot of times whenever something comes up, some trial, something that tests us, unfortunately, the first reaction we tend to have is, why is this happening to me? What have I done? But yet, I think, and this is my perspective, I think we need to be looking at it as, okay, this is set before me. How am I going to deal with it? How would God want me to deal with it? And I think in this verse, we kind of see that. Now, yes, it does say, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And we have a hard time grasping that. How can we have joy in trials? And it's because of, if we pass those trials, if we pass those tests, if we do the things according to the Lord's will, then it is a joy for us to have done the right thing, but also it makes our Lord happy as well because we have stayed true to Him. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It helps us to grow. It helps us to mature. It helps us to learn. And this life that we have, that's what it should be, a growing process throughout. We should never get to the point where we're content or complacent. We should always want to strive to do better, to improve ourselves in every aspect of our lives. And what better example to look to than to Jesus? How did Jesus deal with situations? How did he deal with people? How did he deal with the tests and the trials that came before him? Of course, we look to Matthew chapter 4 whenever he was dealing with the devil, dealing with Satan, and how he dealt with that situation. Whenever he was tempted and tested, he always went to God and God's word, what God's instruction told him. And that's what we need to do. We need to be going to his word and letting it direct our thinking and direct our actions. But we can also think of other instances in his life and how he dealt with those who were testing. And we talked about that a little bit this morning in our lesson, because there are those Pharisees that were always testing him or always asking questions and trying to trip him up in things. But yet, he didn't lose his, as we would say, he didn't lose his cool. Sometimes he even answered a question with a question. Well, you answer me first. And that came back on them. So we need to have patience. And we need to not be afraid when those trials come our way, when those tests come up. But we need to take them or take advantage of them as a growing process for ourselves in trying to draw nearer and nearer to God Almighty. In the second place, let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 12. Just going to be looking at one verse there, but it's a verse that I go to on a semi-regular basis simply because it's that one about endurance, about running the race. And the very first verse there tells us, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us." And in this verse, as he starts out, he points back to what was just spoken of in chapter 11. And we recognize chapter 11 as the hall of faith. Sometimes I've heard it called the hall of fame of faith. Of these various individuals, with Abraham and with Moses and so forth, their faith and how they stayed faithful and true to the Lord. Were they perfect? Well, we know they weren't. We know they made mistakes, but they always strove to do what was right and do what the Lord wanted them to do. And they endured through a lot of things. Just think what Abraham went through. Uproot family and go. What about Moses? Moses didn't want to go on his journey. He didn't think he could do it. But he did. And we've been talking about it in Bible class on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights as well, about everything that he had to deal with all the complaining and murmuring from the Israelites. But he still endured. So since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let's get rid of those things that burden us, those, as it goes on to say, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Remember, whenever we become children of God, one of the things it talks about, one of the images that it presents to us in God's Word is getting rid of the old man and putting on the new. And it does that on more than one occasion. And that's what we need to do. We need to get rid of that old life and live the new one for the Lord. There is one thing in here that I couldn't help but think about, and it goes back to my childhood. I'm guessing it was back in junior high. I'm pretty certain it was, so that'd be over 50 years ago. And I remember my brother's best friend at that time in school. He'd come over and stay with us quite often. My brother and he were both very good basketball players in junior high. I was not. And we'll leave it at that. But anyway, I remember that whenever we would have practices at school, that this friend of my brother's would put these weights on his ankles. And he would do that at the beginning of practice. We had to run a mile before practice actually started. And if you know anything about Southern Illinois, there are some hills down in parts of that. And we had to run from the high school down to the cemetery. The cemetery hill went like this, this. And then we ran through the woods. He ran with these weights on his ankles. And sad to say, he still beat me. But the point I'm getting to is, once he got to the end of that run, he'd take those weights off, and he'd get in practice, he could jump out of the gym. He got rid of that weight that was encumbering him so he could do better. And this wasn't a one-time thing for him. He did this with all the practices. And he probably was no bigger than I am right now, but he could jump because he got rid of that weight that was on him. We need to do the same as Christians. We need to get rid of those weights that are upon us and run the race with endurance that's set before us. Do it to the very end. And we don't know, you know, we talk about an endurance race, and it is. But we also have to keep in mind, we don't know how long we're going to be here. For some of us, it's going to be longer than for others. But the bottom line is, no matter how long that race is, no matter how long we're here, we need to keep pushing forward. And it can be difficult. The races that I used to run in, especially those half marathons that I ran in, I was notorious for starting out too quickly. You don't do that in a distance race. You've got to pace yourself. And we as Christians, we have to pace ourselves as well. And in doing that, it gets us to think more and not get caught up in things, so we can make those right decisions as we strive to endure for the Lord. Then finally, the last P, perseverance. This one's found in Romans chapter 5. The first four verses there. There we read, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Sounds very similar to what we just read over in James. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. So once again, similar to what we did read in James chapter 1, but this growing process that we have here, we also glory in tribulation, knowing that it produces perseverance. Yes, it will help to make us stronger. And from there it produces character, which also from there produces hope. And it's hard to read this passage without thinking about 2 Peter chapter 1. When we look over those, what we usually call them, Christian graces or whatever. And it shows that same type of growing and maturing process there. But there's some other things within that text that are so important for us to remember as well, and things that bring honor and glory to God. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, reading through verse 11, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. So effort has to be put forth with this. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Now notice verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we need these things, producing them within us, because it will keep us fruitful. We'll be doing the things that the Lord wants us to do. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he's cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Persevere. Stay the course. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep going unto the end. If we do, we will be blessed. So as we end this, I hope this has been at least a little bit of encouragement to you, that it has been a pep talk for us all. And let's remember that through patience, through endurance, through perseverance, we will receive the crown of life that it talks about in Revelation 2 and verse 10. And that's our message tonight. If you're here and we can assist you, whether it's to become a child of God or whether you need the prayers of the congregation for struggles that you're having, we ask that you come as we stand and as we sing our invitation song.